Sunday, I guess. Went in there and I was getting some things, and I'd walked over and there was this young girl and talking to another co-worker. And she said when you see Santa Claus, she said, you pop him real good for me. I mean, pop him. She was mad at Santa Claus, you know. And so I went on and done my business, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to bless her. He told me what to give her offering, and give her a little seed. So I walked over there, and I said, you believe in Santa Claus, do you? You know, like that. Well, he probably ain't coming to my house. And I said, all right. So I put some money up there, you know, put it. Because I was thinking about this. And she said, what happened to your eye? And I said, I got run over by a reindeer. Maybe Santa Claus is running late at your house. Because he was in a hurry, and I got run over by one of his reindeers. He was in a hurry. She started laughing. She said, I needed that laugh. I needed to hear that. Well, I blessed her with that money, you know, and I went on. And I thought about it. I thought, you know what? You know, the figment of him only comes once a year. But Jesus is with us 24/7, 7 days a week. He's not a once a year God. He's a full time, on time, always there, always willing and able for those that believe him. But how many knows that faith brings victory? You know, I don't see how I could live this Christian life without faith, whether it's for my marriage or whatever it is. Faith brings victory. And I've walked it long enough to know that, you know, if you stand on God's word, if you get God's word on it, on whatever you're believing, I don't care if it's a block wall. I remember after I got my house, we didn't have no money. We needed windows in it. Had them, they was in the 70s back there, and it would thunder, and all the windows would rattle, Mac. I mean, you could just hear them in the house back under, you know, the aluminum windows. And bless God, we just set our faith to believe God. We couldn't afford them. We really couldn't afford windows, you know. But we set out, and we set out in faith, and we begin to believe God for extra. We begin to believe him that we'd put windows in that house, praise God. And it wasn't just too long down the road, I don't know how long, but God just supernaturally moved. We put windows in that house, nice windows. I can't hardly hear a car go by now, Mac. Hallelujah. Put some real nice windows in the house. I'd go out every time. See, now I'm talking about faith brings victory. Faith, God's not just interested in our spiritual life. He's interested in our whole life. He would that we be whole, spirit, soul, and body, the Bible says. And that's what Jesus took on. But this kingdom, the kingdom, see, money is the currency of the world system. In other words, you get money, you buy gas, you get money, you know, you buy clothes, you buy groceries, you pay your bills. Money is the currency, unless you're trading chickens or something, you know. There ain't a whole lot of that going on anymore. They call it barter today, you know, you can barter stuff. But basically, money is the currency that operates this world system. Well, faith is the currency that operates this supernatural kingdom. Faith is, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of my block wall. Faith is the substance of my windows. Faith is the substance of my healing in my body. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence. That's why I say the Word of God is all the evidence me and you need to know that we have victory. Now, it don't mean that we're not going to be attacked. It don't mean that things are going to work out the way we want them to all the time. That's where confidence in God comes in. That's where trust in God comes in. You know, and I'm still here today. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're diagnosed with cancer, and I actually prayed for them and all of that. And one of the statements that they made was, well, you know, God's allowing this for a reason. And so I come back after we got through talking, and I said, God didn't allow this. I said, what that is, in sense, is saying that God's doing this to you. I said, and there is no way, if you believe God is allowing this, that you can believe God's healing you. See how that can disrupt faith? Real easy. Or, you know, Satan comes on top and I went on quoted scripture because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So I went on and I said, no, all good things come from the Lord. I said, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. It's under the curse. Deuteronomy 28, go read all the stuff that's under the curse. Under the curse, all kinds of sickness, disease, all kinds of stuff. But the Bible says that Jesus, Galatians 3:13, has redeemed us from that curse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us through the Spirit. And it has. The Holy Spirit's came on the inside of us. But faith is our victory. We don't have faith, you know, it was kind of, had this quicken to me years ago. You know, the Lord, I'd quote the word, and I'd hear people quote the word. Nothing wrong with that. We need to quote the word. We need to, as we have believed, therefore we confess, the Bible says. You know, but the Lord, all of a sudden, he said, he spoke to my heart, quickened me. He said, don't have faith in the word. He said, have faith in me. And I started I thought, I need scripture for this. And it's in Mark 11:22. It don't say have faith in the Bible, have faith in. It says have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then I realized, I thought, okay, Lord, I understand what you're saying because it's easy to get off track. We can have faith that Psalm 91 will work. He'll give his angels charge. But without that relationship with the Lord, that Psalms 91, it's dead. It's just a letter. It's just written down. So the Lord was really just making sure that I didn't get off track, you know, and I've been preaching it to the body for years because it's important that we have faith in God based on the Bible. If he said he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, then no matter what it looks like, you stand on that and you say you are faithful, God. You will supply. You will come through. You will move these mountains. You know, and I was thinking about it. I was thinking, Lord, have you got a word for 2023? And the Lord really hadn't spoke a word, you know, to me about 2023. And I've been looking on the inside. It ain't over. I mean, Sunday's the first. We'll see if the Lord does. If he don't, good. That's fine. But, you know, I did have this sense on the inside, you know, that God was saying, I'm continuing what I told you. Well, you remember what he said? He said in 2022, he said things will come to pass that people's been believing me for a long time. And in 2022, Matt, it happened. A lot of it happened for me. I'm going into 2023 for the first time in my life that I can think of that I'm debt-free and I've got stuff. I've been debt-free where I didn't have nothing. Both of them's good. But you know what? I've been believing for 15 years. When I bought my house, I started laying hands on it 15 years ago, Mac, saying, God, one day, me and you'll own this house. Me and Wells Fargo won't own it. Me and you'll own it, Lord. And you know what? Last year, this year, God did it. Through events and leading of the Holy Spirit, of course, giving. Giving's one. I was thinking about it yesterday. I thought, God, Sunday I'm going to bring a first fruits offering. Sunday will be the first day of the first of the year. And I thought, God, I'm going to bring you a first fruits offering Sunday, Lord. And I really don't know what I'm going to believe you for, but I don't care. I'm going to bring you a first fruits offering. You know what I might believe you for? That every one of y'all come out of 2023 healed in your bodies and debt free. Boy, that would be a miracle. He is in the miracle working business. Faith brings these victories. Well, I went out, you know, and I had a dirt bank there beside my house, Mac. When you pull up, you've been in my house. And I'm sitting there, and you know, I thought, Lord, I want a retaining wall there, Lord. I want this to look nice. I want it a nice driveway. And I mean, that place was in a big mess when we bought it. The inside, everything, man. You know, and so little by little we believe God. We never could afford it. Listen to what I'm telling you. In the natural, it wasn't that we just had the money to do these things. We was paying $1,000 a month on our house, plus the light bill, plus the, you know. And so against hope, that's what Abraham, right? The Bible says against what he's seen in the natural. Romans 4, go read it. God had made promise to him. We have promises all through this Bible. That you, what's the block wall you got? God said, it supply all of my needs according to his riches. I need that block wall. And so you know what? I set out. I don't remember if I sold seed or not. Probably did. I'm notorious for bringing an offering. Don't tell nobody. I'm bringing it to Jesus and planting an offering and telling the Lord between me and him, God, I'm sowing this seed because I have this need, God. I'm letting this seed, God, be a seed. I'm letting this offering be a seed for my need. See, I understand that. I understand planting a garden. I understand. I went one year and didn't plant a garden, and I mean, I looked out there and ain't no tomatoes out there. There ain't no squash. I looked out there and I regretted it all year, Mac. I didn't plant it. I thought, I'm not going to plant a garden this year because it's work, and I can't just plant five squash. I mean, I mean, if I get a pack of squash, but God, I just got to plant the whole pack, Mac. You know, if I plant one row of maters, I need three. You know, so I built myself work. So I didn't plant a garden. And you know, all year I missed them tomatoes and those squash, and I didn't get to give y'all anything, you know, give people, I enjoy that. Giving tomato this and that, I just enjoy that, you know. And so I regretted it all year, and I made up my mind, I will never not plant me a garden again as long as Jesus ain't come back to get me. But God, I'm going to have me a garden. And you know, God began to minister to me that. He said, did you know spiritually it's the same way? He said, you can't live off of last year's tomatoes. He said, you can't live off of last year's manna. He said, the manna that I feed you, he said, I want to feed you fresh manna all the time. You know, and it don't mean you get new revelation all the time. It just means he'll stir up the things that you do know. He'll water the seed in you. You know, stir you up. You can, you know, and I had this sense, you know, I mean, we went through 2.5 years of a hard battle against the body of Christ. Not just here, but I mean, just all across the world, you know, and that pandemic and fear and lying and all kind of stuff going on, you know, the enemy got involved. And I mean, it took a lot of fight out of a lot of Christians that I still know that ain't went back to church. You know, they just seemed to got out, you know, and lost their fire. They still love Jesus, you know, but they're not engaged. They're really not engaged. Well, I'm believing 2023 is going to be a year they're going to come to this place. I don't know about every other church. They need to be believing God for it themselves. But every church needs to be believing God in the body of Christ that they coming from the north, the south, the east. I've been confessing that for 21 years. And Johnny just come and started, y'all do it too. But I mean, he picked up on that, and I'm like, there I am again in Johnny, man. I mean, then he got me to do it again. That's exactly what happened, you know. I'd say it every now and then, you know, and then he'd come in and start saying, thank you, Lord, to come from the north, south. Then I said, there it is again. There's that spirit again, Lord. God caused me to jump back up, and I said, I'm getting in agreement. The Bible says one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000, right? See, faith come to me because I read that. I know that. Then when that starts happening, that becomes a revelation. I'm believing this year that they're going to come from the north. God's calling them. God's calling people to this church. God's calling. He's dealing with them to go to church. And they don't know where they're supposed to be, but he's dealing with people all over this planet to forsake not the assembling, to go to church. He just does it in a different way. I need to go to church. That's how I started. I started thinking, man, I need to go to church. I need to change, you know. That wasn't me. I didn't know that wasn't me. That's what he's doing all over this planet. Now we're covering them, and we're calling them in. God, thank you, the ones who are coming here, Lord, that is in your will, Lord. They're coming to get connected with your divine purpose for their life, and they're going to fulfill their desires and our desires here. It works, all of it works together. But faith, you got to, give me that Hebrews 4, Zach. Faith brings victory. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit. Do you see that? Now, I had a revelation of this when I read this back years ago. And the Lord told me, he said, you can hear the gospel preached. He said, but if you don't mix faith with it, he said, it won't profit you nothing. He said, it won't bring financial victory. He said, it won't bring healing. He said, it won't bring strength. He said, you must mix faith with the word you hear. He said, it says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, look, when you're believing, you enter into that rest. You know, to me, I know when I'm in faith, because when I'm in faith, it's done to me. I mean, it's just like done. Whatever I'm believing, it's done. You know, I just consider it done. You know, that's when you've entered in. You know, and I remember, you know, back yonder whenever the economy hit, back yonder, and it looked like that I was going to lose my house and lose everything. In the natural, it looked like it. It felt like it. And the Lord wouldn't even let me come here and tell y'all. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, they would give me an offering, Lord. You know, I mean, they would help me out financially if you'd just let me tell them. And the Lord, he'd be like, who's your God? y'all could help me a little bit, $50, $100, $150. That would have kept me from running out of gas for a few days, you know. But I remember I had to get things settled. I had to get on scripture. See, everybody don't do it because it's not easy until you enter into that rest. But once you get into that rest, then it's like done. It's like settled. Me and Teresa got breakthroughs before anything happened in the natural. See, just because things work out is not your breakthrough. That's your natural breakthrough. See, you got to work things in the supernatural. Faith does it. You enter into that rest. It won't profit you if you're worrying. If you are worrying about your bills, you're not believing God. If you are worried, you are not in faith. Well, I'm just concerned. Make sure you know what you're talking about. If you're just concerned, if you're worried, overly, it'll keep you awake half the night. It'll cause you to start figuring out how to take care of you, how to take care of your family, how to take care. And when that's not your job. Our job is to believe God and stay in faith and get it settled on the inside so that that brings the victory to us. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, I believe it's 6, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to believe God, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently say, of those that stay in rest, of those that stay in faith, of those that won't quit. I've seen many lives ruined in 2022 because they quit fighting. They can use any excuse they want to. They got upset at the deacon. They got upset with the pastor. I mean, y'all could leave because they got a black eye if you want to. I mean, he distracted us all night long up there. Well, I'm not talking to your flesh. Can't believe he just come preach with stitches and a black eye. I'm fighting the fight. I'm winning tonight, Mac. That's the way I look at it. I won. I could have called Brad. Brad, I got a black eye, baby. I mean, I'm under the weather here. I don't want the church to be looking. I had the struggle, Mac. You're going to look dumb up there. You're going to have those struggles to do the will of God. I don't care if it's a black eye or your tooth hurting or your hill, you stomped a hill, you stepped on a rock and bruised it, get you some crutches. I was talking to some people yesterday, and I told them, I said, you know what? I said, I was just thinking about how the church has been so babified in a big sense so they can't take nothing. I said, the water's cut off and they can't come to church. Lights flickered, you know. Can't go to church. Can't serve the Lord, you know. Can't pray because it's cold in here. All that. I said, for my own self. I said, because this world and this body and circumstances not going to tone down my faith. Not going to tone it. I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fiery furnace. Paul went shipwrecked, beat, left for dead, drug out of the city. Stephen stoned to death. John, I believe, was boiled in oil. I believe Isaiah was cut in half. Sawed him in two. And here we are, our battles are not even in that natural thing right now. Persecution's coming to this world. I mean, evil's increasing, and I'm not going to get all discouraged because I see when evil increased in the Bible, God's people rose up and believed God, and God showed up in their life. The glory of God showed up in their life. He told them over there in Ecclesiastes, he's telling them, y'all turn to y'all's gods. Y'all's gods, they got ears, but they can't hear. They got eyes, but they can't see. He's talking about money. He said money and material things and all of that. He said, and I am the God, Jehovah God. He said, you turn to me. Don't turn to any other god. Well, the Bible says that he'll have no other gods before him. He won't let us go on trusting in things that is not him. He loves us. And he will let things fail us. Things will fail us that where our trust is not anchored in him. He won't let us get destroyed. He said, I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He said, those that follow me will never be put to shame. Now it looks like it at times, but you got to make sure that you enter into his rest. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, verse 3. As he said, as I swore in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Go ahead. Is that it? Okay, that's fine. When we believe, we enter into the rest of God. And I've heard people, well, you know, I believe God, but I mean, you just done away with believing God. But, well, I believe God, but I mean, you just told me. You don't have to tell me. But I just heard you say that God ain't big enough. I just heard you believe. I told somebody yesterday, I said, you know what? I said, we can talk about a lot of stuff. I said, you know, and all that stuff. I said, the Bible says that the mouth, that the heart speaks the abundance of the mouth. I said, you know, in church, I said, I'm all Christian-y. I said, but when I'm out here in the battle zone, in my house, and things are heated up, and finances, and people, that's when what comes out of my mouth is really down in my heart. See, it's real easy for me in the amongst of all of y'all believers. Glory to God. I mean, I get in the spirit, man. I mean, and I feel like there's nothing I can't conquer. But when I go out there, praise God, I've not got that corporate anointing. Then's when I've got to decide. No one go with me, though I will follow. No one go with me. See, that's when I got to make my mind up. God will come through. I begin to believe God for that block wall. I didn't have no money for that block wall. I don't care what year it is or what's going on. This Bible don't change. God don't change. Faith don't change. Hallelujah. Unbelief don't change. Unbelief kills your dreams. Unbelief will cause you to go into oppression. You know, I thought about it. I thought, Lord, when I was in the battle with my house, I believed God, Mac, for 10 solid years for my house. I wanted a house. 10 solid years, and I wouldn't turn loose of it. I rode and looked and prayed and fasted and sowed seeds. And I mean, I drove Teresa. She quit riding with me. I mean, when I wasn't working, man, I'm riding the back roads. I'm trying to find that house. I'm looking for it. I thought, man, you know, that Abraham then was looking for a city whose maker was God. They was looking. Well, I would dream and dream. Teresa even quit. She, I ain't going no more. Mac, I'm riding by myself then, me and Jesus. I mean, I wouldn't quit and bless God. And you know what? I ended up in my house. Well, you know what? In the middle of the battle, I've never been behind but that time. I got behind on my house, and when I went through that fire, it reminds me of Deuteronomy over there where he says, you went through the fire, or it might have been Psalm 66. You went through the fire, you went through the flood, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, an abundant place, a large place. I kept that scripture in my heart. Well, you know, when I came through that, me and Teresa has never been behind again on one thing. 10 years that I can think of, especially the house. Never got behind again, Matt. But you know what? In the middle of that, the pressure was on. I remember thinking to myself, I never said it, God, I would rather live in a trailer like Travis had out there, mine, Lord, than go through all of this. I started hearing those thoughts. I wished I'd have never got it. I wonder if it really was the will of God. I knew it was the will of God before the battle. But see, the battle will try to convince you to come out of faith no matter how it does it. Because if you turn loose, you lose. You will lose when you don't have to. I remember it was keeping my mind stayed on the Lord in all those battles, and people, you know, they couldn't figure out what to do, you know. And I was standing in the midst of a couple of brothers, and they was talking about this and that and going bankrupt and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'd done considered all that and done made up my mind. They thought that I was standing there, Mac, and had plenty of money. And I didn't even have the money to buy my son a cold drink on the way to church. But the way I was talking, they thought I had money in the bank. They didn't know I was behind on nothing. I didn't tell nobody. I thought, God has got to be God for me and Teresa. You know, he's got to be our God. He's either our God or he's not. I've preached it all these years, and I've believed it in church and all that. Now I've come down here where I got to decide, is he really my God or not? Is he really real or not? Is he really able to deliver me or not? Is he really able to keep me or not? See, if the battles get you into a dogmatic bulldog state, it's a good battle. Well, you know, I cast those thoughts out, you know, and I wished I'd never got this. See, when you're believing God, don't think that God, you're going to start to get God's promises, and Satan just backs off and says, well, you know, they done won the victory. No, he believes he can win against you. He believes that. He's deceived. And so, you know, if you ever believe God and you get to a place to where you're walking in God's promises, don't let the fight of the battle to keep it get you out of faith. Don't let it take your fire. You just keep enjoying where you're at. And I'm telling you that by experience, and you don't have to go through that if you'll listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you through my wrong thinking and all that, I suffered. I did not have to suffer. I could have stayed in that rest and just rode that wave out, bless God. Because look what God did. He come through and delivered me in 1 week, and I've never been behind again on it. So I started believing for that blah, blah. Well, it wasn't just a week or three or I don't know how long. I come down through there, and my neighbor has got a block mason putting block up on the corner where you turn to my house. And I thought, that is a miracle. I just started believing God for this, man. And here a block mason shows up next door to me. And so I stopped in there, you know, and I said, hey, man. I said, how much you charge? Well, I talked about a block wall. A guy comes to church. He said, hey, Brother Scotty. And I said, yes. He said, the Lord spoke to me. I said, he did he? He said, yeah. He said, I got a bunch of 8-inch block over yonder, none of yonder. We're selling our place, and you can have them 8-inch block if you'll just go get them. I said, well, praise God. Hallelujah. So I left, and I thought, Jesus is real. Jesus on the main line. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. I went over there. Now, you know what? Those blocks didn't jump on that trailer, Matt. Look, God, I got over there, and I didn't have no gloves. And time I got all of those blocks loaded, I was wore. I mean, it. And I thought, the promises are not easy. And I'm sitting there, and I'm halfway loaded up, and I thought, I was believing for this, Lord. But you could have had somebody to load them for me. Well, I didn't believe for that, Johnny. I just believed for the block. Got the block, loaded them up, and the Lord told me, he says, now, he said, on your way back, he said, enjoy the fruits of your believing. He said, enjoy that. And I'm looking in my mirror, and I'm loaded down with block, Mac, man. And I'm enjoying that. I'm like, Jesus, woo, glory. There ain't nobody on the planet enjoyed the blessing like I did at that moment. And I get down there, you know, and got the block all over there, and he come over there, and he told me what he'd do it for, and he said, I need you to get the concrete and get me how much sand I needed and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there broke, Matt, and I said, oh, it won't be no problem. He thought I had the money. They go by, he told me one time, he said, man, he said, I don't know what it is about you, but good things happen to you all the time, don't it? I said, that's Jesus, man. I said, don't you want to come to church with me? I said, that's Jesus. Now I'm going to my church, a bunch of lemons over there, but I'm supposed to be over there. He wasn't a happy Christian at his church. I said, if anything ever happens, just come on down to Faith Way Christian Center. He said, that name. I said, Faith is the way Christians center themselves. Faith, I didn't name his church. I'm going to give you another little thing. You're in the middle of God's will tonight. I'm in the middle of God's will. I didn't know that this used to be a feed store. This used to be a skating rink. They had fun in here, Mac. This was a skating rink back in the 60s, late 50s and 60s. And they was a skating rink here. Then after that, they was a feed store in here. And I didn't know it. I believed God for this building. Didn't have no idea that I'd ever pastor or anything. Was doing it for the garage door business, you know. And then me and my brother split. And anyhow, God told me to start a church. And here we go. Well, I'm down here, and I went on a fast, and I'm believing God. I said, Lord, I can name that church anything. Sister Faithway Christian, Faith Restoration. I can name it Sister Church. I can name it, you know, but I said, God, I want to know the name of your church down there, God. If you get serious with God, I don't care what it is. You know, he may not answer you the first day or the week or 2 weeks or whatever. About your life, whatever your life you need answers for, he will give you the answers. Well, anyways, you know, I don't know how long it was, maybe 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. I've just rested that God's going to give me the name of it. Me and Teresa just refused to come up with it. We want to know God's will. We want to know what he wants to name it. Well, I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to Creflo Dollar preach. Teresa's in the kitchen, and I'm sitting there and cheering. I'm listening to preaching, and I don't even know what he was preaching. In here, I heard it. I heard God say, Faithway Christian Center. I jumped up and said, glory to God. Teresa said, what is it? I said, God just told me the name of the church. It's going to be called Faithway Christian Center. I said, that's going to be the name of the church. She said, well, praise God. Yeah, just praise God. Travis, he's about 3 or 4 years old. I don't know, you know how old he is, 12, 13, whatever. Just praise God. We just loving God, man. We don't even know it's a big battle here. We're just, you know, whatever God says. Well, you know what? I'm down here and I'm all excited. The name of the church is going to be Faithway. And I'm cleaning it out back there. And I got this phone call. And this guy, up in Gunnersville up there, he called me up. He said, hey, I need you to do some work on some garage doors up here. I said, okay. I said, well, what's the name of your place? Give me an address. We didn't have GPS then. You write it down, get some marker. You know, they went on GPS then. And he said, it's a Faithway Feed. And I said, okay, sir. Hung it up. Faithway Feed. Man, that's close to the name of the church, Faithway Christian Center. And I thought, I wonder where he got that name. So when I got up there and gave him price and all that, I'm in there and his name was Dale Rowe. I'm sat down there, went in his office in there, and I'd give him a price on doing that. And he said, well, he said, are you too high or what? I said, I don't know. I didn't check prices. I said, I just figured out what I'd do it for, and that's, I don't know. Are there anybody cheaper than you? And I said, well, I don't know about all that. I'm not in competition with no other garage door company. You know, like that. And he said, oh, okay. He said, well, I want you to go ahead and do it. I said, oh, by the way. I said, where did you get the name of your, how did you come up with the name of your business? He said, the same way you think. And he shoved me out the door and shut his office door. I thought, what's that mean, man? How do I think he got it? Maybe he got it from God. That's where I got, you know. Well, I went on, I'm cleaning this out, and way over in the corner, we'd had it a year or two, I guess, this building. Way over in the corner, I'm cleaning it, and there was an old bag laying over there. And I picked that bag up, and it said Faithway Feed on it. I just about had a showdown in there, man. You know, when them holy dances. I thought, glory to God. God's all over this place. He's got me up yonder, showing me, confirming to me the name. I'm trying to encourage you, see. I didn't know what to name it. I'm kind of frustrated. I'm kind of wondering right back then, is God really going to speak to me? Is he really going to tell me anything, you know? I mean, I'm just starting a fresh journey. I'd never been where I was at before, but I'd seen God move in my marriage. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know what? I said, man, boy, that's talking about wives and stuff into it, you know? I said, yeah. I said, after I become a Christian, I said, me and Teresa, we'd get into it. I said, and I'd either turn tail spins in the yard, run over something, blow it up, tear the porch down, bust the TV, throw it out, throw the refrigerator out, something. I said, I would always do something like that. Then we'd both start throwing everything, and we tore everything up. We didn't have nothing time the little battle was over. And then one time we figured out we got into it over a cigarette lighter. Over a lighter, Mac. And so I was telling him, I said, but you know what? I said, this particular day, I said, I was mad. I said, and I thought I'm going to pull out on the road and I'm going to just stomp it. And I mean, I'm going to hold it down all the way down around that curve down there. Because I thought if I hit the ditch, well, she'll know I'm still alive. Black God, I'll come out of that. I'll crawl out of the church. That's the way I used to think. And so this particular morning, I said, I'm not going to do it no more. I'm not going to do it no more. And I sat there and I said, God, I said, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I said, Lord, I'm tired of the enemy being able to work in mine and her life anymore, Lord. I just believe you, Lord. And I said, Lord, I believe by the time I get to Bluntsville down there, the shop was down here. By the time I get to Bluntsville, Lord, that you're going to move. You're going to show me. You're going to move in my marriage. And I'm telling you, I got down here to Bluntsville and that office phone was ringing and I went in there and it was Teresa. And I thought, God, he made it down here before I did. He got to Bluntsville before I did. Well, I was telling them that story. Well, some people take that as a story. But that's not a story. That's a story of the power of the God that we serve. That if we truly trust him, if we truly turn things up, that's why the Bible says, casting all your care over on him because he cares for you. I cast that care over on him, but God, and you know what? My marriage has been getting better ever since. And you know, he's so good, he's still working on it. It's a miracle. He can work in your marriage for 30-something years and say, that's just darting, man. I'm just getting started in your marriage. And I'm like, wow. Wow, man. He's a big God, you know. And people are like, well, you know, I mean, I just can't see that happening in my marriage. Well, you got to see it happening. That's what faith is. I mean, if I went by how I felt about her at times, Mac. I'd give her to anybody. I wish somebody, they don't even have to pay me. I'd pay them make payments to take her. I'm talking about how you feel when you're angry, when things are going on, when things ain't going right. You know, you all kinds of emotions can go through your heart and through your mind and everything, even in the financial realm. All kinds of emotions, if you let it go, can disrule you. But you know what? You put a stop to it. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And the Bible says we're not of them that draw back. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition, unto defeat, praise God. We're those that move forward, praise God. You know, and I mean, I've asked people a lot, you know, when they say, well, you know, this has attacked me and blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, what does the word say? And they'll say, well, I don't know. What do you mean, what does the word say? I said, you can't get no victory if you don't know what God said he'll do in that Bible for you. I said, that's a big problem. I said, because here you are sitting here in confusion. I said, I'm not. I know the answer to what you're asking. I know the answer to what you're saying. I already know it, but I was asking you, what does the Bible say about your marriage? What does the Bible say about your finance? What does the Bible say about your ministry? What does the Bible say? The Bible had a lot to say about David at 13. Y'all teenagers could turn your school upside down. Turn your college upside down. You just go to fasting. Oh, God, don't mention that fasting. What does the Bible say? He didn't say, let the pastor pray and fast. Did he? Went down to Christmas down there, Teresa's mom's, and I come down by here and got some cranberry juice. I went and got some cranberry juice and got some slips for the cranberry juice. Called Doris up and I said, you got any saltine crackers down there, Doris? Oh, no, I ain't got no crackers. I said, okay, that's fine. So I went in the cabinet and got me some saltines. And Tracy let her know we was going to have some communion. I let somebody there, you know, and she said, when you going to do it? I said, don't make me no difference. I said, there's too much sickness and stuff going on around here. I said, we're going to have to get some stuff going on. Well, anyways, somebody walked up there and they said, having communion? And I said, well, yeah. Well, this ain't church. I said, well, it don't say have communion in church. They said, it don't say that. See that religious mindset? We can only have it in church. Who said so? You can sit at your table all by yourself and have communion, you and the Lord. You can have communion anytime. I said, it says, do this as often as you would in remembrance of me. I said, in remembrance that his body was broken for our healing. Hallelujah. He shed his blood, and by his stripes we're healed. They were, you know, and then I ministered just a few minutes. But one of them said, ain't you supposed to use wine? And I said, well, I didn't have no moonshine, 80 proof moonshine, so I figured we'd just use cranberry juice. I went on to say, there ain't no power in the wine. There ain't no power in the bread, in the crackers. The power is in the faith we release, believing what Jesus done over 2,000 years ago. The power's not in the cranberry. The power's not in those crackers, hallelujah. Faith in God through the word. Do this as often as you would in remembrance of what I've done for you. So we had communion. It was a little different, a little awkward. But why, they had church in houses back under Mac, you know. Started them in houses, praise God. Well, see, I thought, this is what I thought. I'm going to go about this Jesus that I proclaim about, this Santa Claus that I attack on a yearly basis. I attack the poor guy on a yearly basis, and he ain't even real. I have to contend with him. Ain't that funny, Mac? He's a God to some. and they're taught to worship that God. I mean, Santa Claus ain't flying around diving down no chimneys, man. You know? I mean, Walmart is Santa Claus. Hey, y'all work all week. I was watching the news, and they said that 60 or 70% of Americans, in America, 60 or 70% of people put on their credit card Christmas for their family last year, and they don't even got it paid off this year, and they're putting it on there again. That is sad. So you're paying interest on all year long, and then borrowing again. The church should not be there. We are smarter than that. We believe, I am not Santa Claus, but I'm Santa. I mean, them kiddos younger, they know Papa will get it. They know Daddy and Mama, they got gifts. I mean, Aiden's birthday, we having a party for him. Is it Saturday? Well, we celebrated him last night. We let him open one last night. Ooh, happy birthday. And Aubrey went in there and opened and made him one, made him a little birthday. But you know what? When they was losing their teeth, not Aiden yet, but Aubrey, I mean, she had started out that tooth fairy stuff. School stuff teaches them that stuff. You know, tooth fairy come, put it under your pillow. I told her, I said, Pawpaw's tooth fairy. I said, now, I'm going to trade you money for that tooth, but there ain't no tooth fairy coming. I can't lie to her. That's a lie, ain't it? To let her believe that some imaginary, whatever it is coming in there while you're asleep and get that tooth and leave you some money. So she told me the other day, she said, Papa, I got another one loose. I said, oh gosh, are you serious? I said that mouth is costing me. I said, what's that one worth, $2? Nah, I think $9, Papa. So now she's putting a price on her teeth. And you know what? She ain't even trusted in the tooth fairy. Praise God. I told her, where's my tooth? Mama got it. I said, you give Mama my tooth. I bought it. I bought that tooth, girl. Well, Mama won't let me have it. Papa, I was messing with her. Mama won't let me have it to keep them first teeth. I think Teresa still got Travis's first hair. Yeah, he did first lot of hair. Oh, cut it out. Poor thing. I'm like, shave it, man. That's what they did to me. Oh, shoot, we didn't go to the barber shop. Daddy out there bought some clippers. Shoot, we're bald-headed. Every one of us bald-headed. I think the girls were bald-headed. There's 17 of us, Mac. Man, I ain't coming out of there. Make an appointment for the hair cutter. No hair cutting appointment. Y'all sit down, line up on the porch. Bzz, bzz, get buzz jobs, buzzed. That's a true story. We all was bald-headed. Me and Preston down at Nectar one time, and I'm up there at Nectar River swimming, and I told Preston, I said, now look, man, I said, you go down there, you keep watch. I said, you scream real loud if somebody starts up. Because I'm up there ripping off radios and stuff, you know, and the cars. And so I heard him, woo! I'm like, uh-oh. So I took off. Well, that dude run up around through there, went back down there, and he said, there he is right there. And it was Preston. He said, I've been right here swimming. Nah, you are there. We was bald-headed. I mean, both of us, we looked just alike, man. I thought, yeah, it was him. Get him. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I don't glorify all that past stuff. I glorify God in what He's transformed me and transformed you and transformed us to be, praise God. Hallelujah. And give us a supernatural faith that will conquer anything that comes our way. Somebody told me the other day, I'm going to close with this. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, you know, truly the Bible does say to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, don't it? I said, it does. I said, I've learned something, I said, over the course of serving the Lord. I said, if I know that I'm fixing to go into a battle, I said, I go into that battle in faith and I come out in faith. I said, the Lord told me one time, don't wait till you get in a battle to build faith. build your faith up, and then when that storm comes, that storm ain't got nothing on you, whatever that storm is, natural, spiritual, you know. And so I told him, I said, yeah. I said, one of my brothers come down there and at the hospital. I said, I'm fixing to have open heart surgery. Of course, that's dangerous. I mean, you got a 50-50 chance of coming out of there, just in the natural. People dying up there later I come out, and I standing there in the door, and somebody died, and the red lights went off, and that nurse, go back in there. I started to tell her, hey, I'm not afraid of dying, man. If I die here, I thought, well, go back in, you know. Thought I might get all nervous and have a heart attack. No, I done had all that, I'm fixed. You know, one of me take nitroglycerin around with me. I'm like, why? I'm fixed. I don't need to take nitro. I needed nitro. I need a bunch of nitro before I got fixed. I'm fixed now. I don't need nitro. Ain't nothing going to happen to me now. I got blood flowing. Hallelujah. Got new veins, 50-something years left if I want it. Praise God. Well, I told him, I said, you know, I said, he said this to me. He said, I talked to the Lord this morning. I hope he heard me. He's praying for me, one of my brothers, you know. And I looked at him and I said, well, I talked to him too. I said, he did hear me. I said, and I'll be out in a little while. I said, I want you to come to church when I get out. I'm fixing to go into open heart surgery, man. I'm coming out of here. Well, see, I had the confidence of knowing. My ministry ain't through. My marriage ain't through. I promised 120 years. Long, satisfied life will he show me. Give me and show me his salvation. Just told somebody today, matter of fact. They was talking, you know, and he said, well, Lord, the Bible promises long life. I said, no. I said, don't leave the best part out. He said, what's that? I said, satisfied. I said, you can live a long time bedridden. You can live a long time in a wheelchair. You can live a long time broke. I said, but long satisfied, you ain't bedridden. You ain't broke. You ain't in a wheelchair. You're not crippled. You're not oppressed. You're not in fear. I said, so don't leave the best part of that promise out. Oh, it says that? And I said, yeah, it says that. Well, black God, I'm going to have a satisfied long life now. I just helped him change. Changed his believing. He didn't know it was there. Whatever, praise God. So I want to encourage you. I believe 2023, God is going to continue, and there's going to be things you believe for a long time that he's going to complete in 2023. I believe that 2023 is going to be a year of acceleration of the kingdom. He's going to accelerate things spiritually in us. Revelation's going to start coming. He's going to use us more, praise God. And I believe it. Just yield to him. Yield to the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, just yield to him. You might think it'll disrupt your life, but I'm telling you, it won't. It won't. The will of God never disrupts your life. It always enhances your life. Praise God. It enhances my life. Let's bow our head. Father, we praise you.